From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. This week, the president said that to be afraid is not the American way. We don't give in to fear. Hey, maybe he wasn't born here after all. We'll talk about the latest signs of irrational panic, plus Harry Potter himself, actor Daniel Radcliffe, tries not to fall under our spell, and Bill Curtis tells us about the date night he had with his wife.
The ascent stopped, and there was some, let's say, disassembly.
We'll ask what really went terribly wrong, coming up on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm strange, enticing, weird, and normal anchorman, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you all so much. Thanks, Bill, and thanks, everybody. Great show for you today. We are very excited to talk to Daniel Radcliffe coming on later. Now, Daniel Radcliffe, of course, practically grew up in front of our eyes as the star of all the Harry Potter movies. In fact, we have asked specifically today to speak to the 12-year-old Daniel Radcliffe from the first movie when he was at his most adorable-ishness. But we don't care what stage your awkward adolescence is at. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Peter, hi. It's Katie from Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Steamboat Springs, beautiful place. What do you do there?
I work in the ER here. I work nights.
You work nights? Do you work during ski season?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Keeps me employed.
I bet. So you have a lot of rich, dumb people coming in.
We are rich and rich, dumb people.
Can I ask you a question? Because I know that some of those ski suits that these people wear cost thousands of dollars. Do you take a particular pleasure in cutting that off their broken legs?
So much, especially the fake fur.
Oh, that's the best. Well, welcome to the show. It's great to talk to you, Katie. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the host of LiveWire Radio and the podcast Too Beautiful to Live. It's Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hey, Katie.
Next, it's a reporter for the Houston Chronicle. It's Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Katie.
Finally, it's a comedian and the host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast. Welcome back, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Katie.
So, Katie, needless to say, you're going to start us with Who's Bill. This time, Bill Curtis is going to create for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Just two, and you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready.
Katie, your first quote today is from Chris Christie, the Honorable Governor of New Jersey.
I've been sued lots of times before. Get in line.
Governor Christie was reacting, in his way, to a threat by one Casey Hickox, who was detained by the governor of New Jersey because he was afraid she had what?
Ebola!
Yes! You sound like you just found the Ebola virus under your Christmas tree, and you're delighted.
That was the happiest Ebola has ever made anybody.
It's true.
You know, and as a doctor, Katie, I think you should get in the habit of not saying that word that way.
Yeah. Ms. Hickox is a nurse. She was in Africa working with Ebola patients, and she was detained in quarantine when she landed in Newark because authorities said she was nauseated and feverish. That, of course, is a common reaction to suddenly finding oneself in New Jersey. So Ms. Hickox was held against her will over the weekend in a tent inside a hospital, which has the benefit of keeping any Ebola from spreading to New Jersey or any New Jersey spreading to her. She complained about the conditions. She said she had nothing to eat except hospital food and one takeout meal from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Governor Christie scoffed. He said she, quote, had food from the best restaurants in Newark, unquote. Here's the thing, they're both telling the truth.
And Peter, can I take this moment to say goodbye to all our listeners in Newark, New Jersey?
They know I love them.
Did you see what happened when she did go back to Maine? She took a mountain bike ride with her boyfriend and was surrounded by camera people and, you know, the news reporters. And it was the most bizarre scene because one of the networks had the presence of mind to take like five steps back.
Yeah.
And just film everybody else who was filming her.
Yeah.
And my thought was like, if she does have Ebola, she's going to give it to the right people. Yeah.
At this point, the governors, the authorities, Maine, New York, New Jersey, they're more panicked than the people. The rest of us are all getting over Ebola panic. One sign, the suddenly popular sexy Ebola nurse costume. Seriously, at least two companies were selling these up to Halloween. It's a short lab coat, fishnet stockings, and instead of a mask, it's a hazmat hood. You can't see the face, but it's got a stenciled message on it saying, sexy face inside.
You know, I met her once. And that wasn't true.
Well, there you are. You can't believe what you read, Alonzo. All right, very good, Katie. Here is your next quote.
The ascent stopped, and there was, some say, disassembly.
That was a bit of understatement from an aerospace executive explaining why his rocket did what this week?
I'm going to go with exploded.
You would be correct by doing that. Very good. It did explode. Boom. The U.S. government and NASA has now outsourced their space operations to private companies, which is great because it is less expensive, but terrible because it's cheaper. This particular company tried to save money by using, and this is true, 40-year-old leftover Soviet rockets they got on the cheap. In fact, they didn't pay for them at all. They got them as a special gift for buying six cases of Stolichnaya.
This shows you how my brain works, though, because this was obviously... Even if they did get it with the Groupon or something, yeah. This was a very valuable piece of space technology that blew up. But what struck me about the news story was not only that the rocket exploded, but it destroyed a bunch of people's cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was less sad about the rocket and more sad about somebody's Hyundai.
Yeah.
That now had a big piece of rocket that had blasted through.
Well, thankfully, and we should say, nobody was hurt. It was an unmanned rocket. It was carrying supplies for the space station and science experiments, including one designed by some 13-year-olds at Columbia Junior High School in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, my alma mater. The kids were very upset, but they got a nice consolation prize. The government has given them the contract to build the next rocket.
Now,
I don't know. Luke has me all worried now about these cars. I mean, how do you explain that to Geico?
You know the insurance company is going to be like, did you have rocket coverage?
Yeah, exactly.
Katie, very good. Here is your last quote.
We run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand able to do everything. But that is not so.
That was somebody saying God didn't just create everything. It happened over billions of years through evolution. Who is this guy poo-pooing the Almighty?
Was it Pope Francis?
It was Pope Francis, Katie. Yes, very good. Pope Francis has already shaken the church. This week he said he believes in the Big Bang and evolution. This departs from the position of his predecessor, Pope Benedict, who said, God made us all individually and for a purpose because otherwise I am wearing this silly outfit for no reason. Now, people have pointed out that this is not a departure from the church teaching. They've accepted evolution for a long time. But there's something about Pope Francis's approach. He just wants to shake things up. He wants to be shocking and different, but it's almost like he's trying too hard. He's going to start showing up in the dorm common room with his acoustic guitar, wearing denim vestments, and saying things like, well, you know, I'm the Pope, but I'm not really religious. I would say I'm more spiritual.
Did you know that there actually are gluten-free communion wafers?
I did know that, actually.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's because there are Catholics in California.
Bill, how did Katie do in our quiz?
She got us off to a good start. She got a perfect score.
Well done, Katie. Thank you so much for playing. Bye-bye now. We want to remind everyone they can join us most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in beautiful downtown Chicago, Illinois, for tickets and more information about our first ever show in, yes, New Jersey, at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark on December 4th. I should say at this point, hey guys, just kidding. Go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Alonzo, according to physicist Tim Bushell, you should not do what with the high-energy particle accelerator at CERN in Switzerland?
Well, obviously you don't want to try it at home.
No. Couldn't do that at home unless you had a 60-mile-long particle accelerator.
I don't know. I think you shouldn't use it to heat up your lunch, like leftovers or anything.
At what
point do you realize I have no idea, Peter?
Yes.
No idea. Can you give me a hint?
I can. Well, sometimes you just don't want to wait in line at the Porta CERN.
Oh, you're not supposed to use it.
Just come out and say it.
As a sanitary facility.
You're basically not supposed to pee in the particle accelerator.
Yeah.
Warning to everyone.
I didn't know you could say that on NPR.
You can.
All right.
I hope you can, otherwise.
Well, you got the gig.
Yeah. For scientists, the particle accelerator at CERN holds the secret to the origins of the universe. But for some people, it's just a lot closer than the restroom. When asked what would happen, so far hypothetically, about the consequences of doing this, Bushell writes, quote, it would be easier and safer peeing inside a combine harvester.
That's been done, too.
I'm sure it has. Once. At best, he says, you'd get caught up in a bunch of wires. At worst, you'd get electrocuted. But if you aim correctly, this is the exciting thing that theoretical physicists postulate. If you aim correctly and hit just the right spot, you might be able to travel back in time and pee on Hitler.
I just can't imagine how smart you have to be to work with something like this. And they really still had to come up with a sign like, hey, don't pee on it.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pimsleur language programs, offering the potential to play the Bluff the Listener Challenge in 50 languages. Learn more at Pimsleur.com. The National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, and Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Outback. Love, it's what makes a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. We will be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we're playing this week with Kerry O'Connor, Alonzo Bowden, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, I'm Jeff from Long Beach, California.
Hey, Long Beach, a beautiful place I once lived. What do you do there?
I'm an artist.
What kind of artist are you?
A painter.
Really? Do people commission portraits anymore?
They do. I'll paint you a portrait.
Will you really?
I will.
Can I ask to be posed doing anything I want or being any? Can I, like, be, as Alex Rodriguez once allegedly did, be the front half of a centaur?
Peter, for you, I'll do anything.
That'd be awesome. I will be the world's first bald centaur. Welcome to the show, Jeff. It is nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Jeff's topic?
You're the best around. Nothing's ever going to keep you down.
The only reason we are not all champions and gold medal winners is they don't give out prizes for the things we're good at. Not at least until now. This week we heard about a chance to finally get recognized for something that any of us might be able to do and do well. Guess the real story and you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
For years, the town of Funk Springs, Arkansas, tried to distance itself from its evocative name without much success. So finally, in 2008, it decided to embrace the name and make some money off it, and thus was born the first ever Funk Springs Funktacular, a celebration of all things pungent. There's the livestock tent, which is honestly just mostly skunks. There's also the dunk tank filled with spoiled buttermilk. But the real highlight of the weekend has become the competitive body odor contest, which pits four men against each other in a contest to see whose BO is the most intense. Last year's winner, Rudy Thompson, a CrossFit instructor by day, estimates he worked out 90 times without showering in preparation, but that wasn't all. I was taking a performance enhancer, he admitted to the Funk Springs leader. Raw onions, 6 or 8 of them a day. Thompson, who lives alone, says it was all worth it to win first prize, a $400 gift certificate to Don's Unfinished Furniture Emporium. The stakes were even higher, it could be argued, for last year's loser, Chuck Abernathy, who, according to the rules, will be forced to judge next summer's competition.
The body odor competition in Funk Springs, Arkansas. Your next story of someone fighting to be the most banal comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Like most schools, William Hart Elementary in Dubuque, Iowa, has a problem with kids using cell phones in class. One of the teachers noticed the epidemic when she momentarily looked up from her own phone several months ago. So, in the spirit of if you can't beat them, join them, the school came up with a way to make cell phone use an interactive school-wide activity. This month, they hosted the first annual I-Olympics, which had kids compete for medals in a variety of phone-related challenges. In one contest, kids tried to remember their home phone numbers, addresses, and parents' names without looking at their phones. The student who remembered the most using his human powers of memory won the gold. Another competition timed students to see who could go the longest without touching their phone. Caitlin Goldstein took first place with an astounding 17 seconds. Then there was the battery life challenge, where contestants are given a 10% charge on their phone and have to multitask. The first one to run down the battery wins. This year's gold medal was won by simultaneously streaming a Justin Bieber video while listening to Keisha and FaceTiming with her friends. She was also live tweeting. It was easy, she said. That's pretty much what my friends do every day anyways.
The I-Olympics. Kids demonstrate their phone skills in Dubuque. Your last story of a drudge match comes from Kerry O'Connor.
Just when you thought every possible contest had been contested, South Korea proved you dead wrong. The first spaced-out competition pitted contestants against, well, themselves, to see who could be the very most zoned out the very longest. Kind of like a staring contest between yourself and space. Contestants were checked for steady heartbeat and absence of giggling for at least 3 hours. Who won? A 9-year-old girl whose teacher had complained about her daydreaming in class.
All right, here are your choices. One of these competitions actually happened recently and crowned a winner. Was it from Luke Burbank, a body odor competition in Funk Springs, Arkansas? From Alonzo Bowden, the I-Olympics, students showing their skills in using or not using their phone? Or from Kerry O'Connor, a space-out competition to see who could be the most zoned out in South Korea? Which of these was the story of a real competition?
Oh, man.
It is tricky.
I like all three of them, but I think I got to go... I'll go with Kerry's.
All right, you're going to go with Kerry's story, which is the spaced-out competition in South Korea. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with this real competition.
This was the world's first space-out competition, where the nation's finest space cadet stared off in the ether for as long as possible.
That was Andy Campbell, an editor at the Huffington Post, talking about South Korea's space-out competition. Yes, Jeff, you pulled it out.
Right.
Kerry did tell the true story, so you've earned a point for Kerry just for being truthful, but you have also won our prize, the voice of our scorekeeper emeritus, Carl Castle, on your voicemail. Congratulations and well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
And now the game where the very famous answer questions about the very obscure. Daniel Radcliffe made his film debut at the age of 10 in a BBC version of David Copperfield by Dickens. He's got a new movie out, a horror thriller called Horns. We wonder how he filled his time between those two projects. Daniel Radcliffe, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much.
Not to beat around the bush any further, Dan, you of course starred as Harry Potter in all the movies, and we watched so many of them with my children, it felt like you were also a member of the family.
Yeah.
Albeit a more obedient and cheerful one.
And magical.
And magical. So, but I sat down this week and I watched your new movie, Horns, and I didn't have a timer, but it seemed in the first 5 minutes you smoked, drank, swore like a sailor, I believe you urinated on a religious shrine and generally behaved very badly. And I want to ask you, how good did that feel?
It was pretty great. I mean, not necessarily urinating on a religious shrine.
No, of course not.
That's not something that I've like longed to do for ages. But it's nice to play a part that is so different. And I get like, he's kind of a badass in this film.
You do, in fact, grow horns.
Yeah.
Which is a look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of the people out there who always thought Harry Potter was satanic are going, aha, I told you.
Yeah, I know, but I sort of enjoy annoying those people. I mean, we all work with
things. There are so many things to ask you about as the star of the most profitable and probably most widely seen film series of all time. But let's just start with the action figures and toys. If I were to go to your house, would I see any Harry Potter memorabilia, any little Daniel Radcliffe's and your friends?
No. You'd see, what have I got? You know what you're more likely to find is like sort of homemade Harry Potter dolls that I get sort of given, or not by me, I hate them.
That would be hilarious if you sat around all day.
Yeah, that's what I've been spending my time with.
Yes.
Filming. I've just been making dolls. There's a few of those, but not too many action figures.
I did want to ask you, I mean, again, a lot of questions, but as I explained earlier, my daughters grew up with you, as so many people did, and it must be odd. I mean, it's one thing to be well-known as an actor, which obviously you are. It's another thing to be a part of so many people's childhood. Does that ever get, like, oppressive or strange?
No, not really. I mean, it's actually rather lovely. I'm very lucky to be associated with something that, for the most part, is really well-loved. I mean, some people are famous for being part of stuff that people hate. I remember I was standing behind, like, a British reality TV star a few years ago at a concert, and, like, the jit he was getting from the crowd around him was incredible. I was just remember thinking, Jesus, I'm lucky everyone like really likes the thing I got famous for. You know, it's still incredibly lovely to have people come up to you and say, you know, you're a huge part of my childhood. Because I had a great time too. That's the thing. Like, if I'd had a horrible time, I'm sure I wouldn't want to be reminded of it.
Right.
But because I had a really good time, it's always really nice.
It did seem like a lot of fun. And I've heard stories over the years about you being on the set of the Harry Potter films. I remember hearing a story once that the original Dumbledore, Richard Harris, couldn't quite remember his lines, and that you said that you actually went in there and asked him to help you run yours, so that he could practice his without you asking him.
Yeah, I was an incredibly politic little child, as it turned out. I do remember that. I also, one of my other, like, amazing memories of Richard, in the second film, there's Forbes Phoenix is there, and it was animatronically operated from guys that were outside the set, and they had a camera like in the head of the Phoenix, so they could like see what people were doing right in front of it, so they could interact with it. And Richard 100% thought it was real.
So wait a minute. So this is the magical golden Phoenix that Dumbledore has as a pet, and he actually thought that they had found a Phoenix of some kind.
He was like going up to it, and of course, as soon as he started like interacting with it, and the guys outside like realized this was happening, they started like pandering to it and playing with it more and more, and it was lovely. It was just one of those great moments. But no, he was a lovely, lovely man.
One thing I've always wondered, again, I've seen all of those films many, many times with my family. They made the first film, I guess, going back, they cast it back in like 2000, I guess it was, or maybe even earlier. And they cast you and the other then children in the lead roles and many of the supporting roles. And pretty much all of you made it to the final film. And you all did a wonderful job. But none of you went nuts, flamed out, started behaving badly in public places. As far as I know, none of you were seen getting out of a limousine without underwear during the entire decade. Just probability would indicate that that's extremely unlikely.
Well, I mean, you think that, but there are also loads of kind of successful cases of people who start young becoming, Elijah Wood and Tobey Maguire and Jodie Foster and, I can't think of more.
That's it. It's you guys, those four. Everybody else is like...
But I think for all of us, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but like, there was never a moment when I didn't want to be there. And I'm just lucky that I really, really like my job.
I apparently. We have to ask about this because you blew up the internet with your rendition of Alphabet Aerobics, the rap thing by Blackalicious.
Yeah.
You did it on The Tonight Show this week. And
yes.
People were amazed. Is this like, I mean, are you going to do like the Bruce Willis thing and go from acting into music now?
Did Bruce Willis do that?
Oh, you are young. No, he did. He tried, I think it was called like The Return of Bruno, I think his album was called.
Wow, that's a great album name.
Yes, isn't it though?
I'm going to get that immediately.
Yo, I think you should.
I think the website's available.
But no, I can officially like shut down any idea that I am. This is not me sort of auditioning for my changing career. This
no.
is just a weird thing that I can do.
I'm telling you, this could work out for you with this acting thing in the end. Well, Daniel Radcliffe, yep. What a pleasure to talk to you in person. But we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
Sure, you're Harry Potter, but what do you know about Harry Pottery?
Oh, dear.
Harry Pottery. In other words, chia pets. Those strange little planters that grow chia leaves, looking amusingly like hair. We're going to ask you three questions about chia pets, and if you get two right, you win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill, who is Daniel Radcliffe playing for?
Abhijit Lakhia of Panjim, India.
That's interesting. It'll be far enough away so that if you screw this up, you probably won't run into her.
Well, that's good.
All right. Here we go. Here's your first question. Now, you know what these chia pets are. These are these little terracotta-colored pottery that you get, and you sort of smear...
with the green thing sprouting out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
It's like a Bruce Willis with more hair.
It is very much like that. All right, so that's all you need to know as we proceed to the first question. Chia pets come in many shapes and models, including special holiday editions. You could, if you wanted, buy which of these? A chia zombie for Halloween, B, a chia John Hancock for the 4th of July, or C, a chia dead firstborn son for Passover.
Oh, I mean, they'd all be good.
Wouldn't they?
I'm gonna go with A because that seems the most likely.
The chia zombie. The audience agrees, yeah. And you are right. It is in fact.
Yeah.
What it is? It's like a little zombie arm emerging from a chia lawn. You can pick that up for your shelf.
That's pretty nice. I'm gonna go and find some chia pets. Also.
Probably. We're making a shopping list. Chia pets.
I'm gonna have an evening of Bruce Willis music and chia pets.
There you are. And that's the life we always imagined you living. I have to say. All right, you have two more chances. Let's go. Sometimes chia fans create their own chia pets to honor certain people they may admire, including which of these? A, Liberace, B, billionaire investor Warren Buffett, or C, Saddam Hussein?
This is tricky, but I'm sorry, I don't know how that noise sounded. Fine, by the way. I like the idea of a Warren Buffett chia pet. Please tell me that's true.
I can't do that, Daniel, as much as I admire you. It's Saddam Hussein. The Saddam Hussein chia was allegedly marketed under the name Chia Thug. When the plants grew in, it looked like Saddam Hussein's hair and beard. Nobody has been able to find one outside of a photograph of the box, so it may not be real, but we can hope so. All right. This is exciting. You have one more chance to get this right and win our prize for our listener. Joseph Enterprises is the company that makes chia pets, always has. It's also responsible for other as-seen-on-TV products you can purchase for your home, including which of these? A, mandals, which are candles for men. They come in scents like fresh fish, kegger, and auto shop. Or B, the literal insanity workout DVDs, an exercise series led by the inmates at the Danvers State Hospital. Or C, the Shamu Wow, a super absorbent towel to clean your marine mammals.
Oh, what? One of them is real?
Yes, mandals.
Okay, I'm gonna go with the candles one, the ridiculous candles.
You're gonna go with Mandels? You're right, Daniel. Very good. You can buy Mandels, some other flavors or scents that Mandels come in. Swimsuit model, what does that smell like? Space cake and stripper's mouth. That's minty fresh breath, because, as I'm sure you know, strippers are minty fresh breath. Bill Curtis, how did Daniel Radcliffe do in our quiz?
Enough to win 2 out of 3. Yeah.
That's great. Nobody expected anything less from you, then. Daniel Radcliffe is a star of stage and screen. His new movie, Horns, is in theaters and in video demand now. Daniel Radcliffe, thank you so much for joining
thank
us on Wait,
much.
Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD. And Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Luke Burbank, and Kerry O'Connor. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. In just a minute, Bill seduces you with his poetry. It's our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, forget Valentine's Day.
Okay.
According to experts, social scientists, the people who figure this stuff out, the best holiday for finding love, or at least a one-night stand, is what?
Probably not President's Day.
Well, during the Clinton administration, you had a shot. Yeah.
Well, then every day was President's Day.
Well, as of this weekend, you only have to wait about 363 days.
Well, then it's got to be Halloween.
It is, in fact, Halloween. Maybe it's the rush from all that sugar or the way you look in that sexy Ebola nurse costume, but according to psychologists at the University of Westminster in England, Halloween is our sexiest holiday. It's apparently because our attraction to each other is heightened by fear. You know how you clutch each other in moments of fear? And Halloween is the season of haunted houses, scary movies, etc.
Well, I think everybody just goes for the guy with all the Snickers.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah. Luke, a member of the British Secret Service, their protective detail around the Prime Minister, is in a bit of hot water after letting what run into British Prime Minister David Cameron?
Was it like an animal of some kind?
An animal? No.
Was it a car?
No.
Was it a vehicle?
No.
Okay, so is it a mineral?
No.
All right, can I have a hint?
Yeah. Thankfully, the agents subdued him before he could start telling the Prime Minister about his half marathon.
A jogger?
Yes. So this scene was captured by a bystander's video. The security guards were escorting the Prime Minister across the sidewalk to his car, but they're all staring around, and they did not see this guy running down the sidewalk until he ran straight into the most powerful man in Britain. And then, of course, the guards sprang into action, shouting, "Shorts fired! Shorts fired!"
That's amazing on both ends. That they wouldn't see him and that he would see like five burly guys surrounding a guy and say, "Yeah, I'm going to run right through the middle of that."
Kerry, after a number of incidents, the U.S. Forest Service has had to issue an official warning to hikers on our public lands not to do what with the bears?
I actually know the answer to this. Take selfies with them.
That's right. Bear selfies are becoming more and more popular among visitors to our national parks. The U.S. Forest Service realized they had a problem when park rangers kept finding these detached arms holding iPhones.
Do they really have to protect people from people, from themselves? I mean, isn't that a Darwin thing that we, if you want to take a selfie with a bear, I think we should allow it.
Alonzo, just in time for Halloween, the Wall Street Journal printed a suggestion to help many parents improve the eating habits of their kids during that holiday. What?
Let's see. Can I get a hint on this?
It's as easy as taking, how would you put it?
Candy from a baby.
Right,
they're suggesting you take it away?
Yes, they're basically suggesting you steal their candy. Now, what makes this interesting...
Can I stop you right there? Yeah. And say, there's nothing better than Wall Street bankers telling you to steal candy from kids.
Yes. But it's not, they're not suggesting doing it like a banker would, just by walking up and going, it's mine, give it to me. They're saying you have to be devious. What they suggest, the Wall Street Journal, is that you tell your kids there's something called the switch witch. Right?
Oh, God.
This works with younger, impressionable children. Or stupid ones, if they're older. It's like the Tooth Fairy. There's the Easter Bunny, there's the Tooth Fairy, there's the Switch Witch. And the Switch Witch comes at night and takes all the candy kids got trick-or-treating and replaces it with something else, like apples, or vegetables, or school supplies, or a lifetime of resentment.
I can't help but think this literally sounds like the test they would give to a new hire on Wall Street. Can you lie to a child and steal his candy? We'd love to have you work here.
If you can do this. It's like they do with gangs. You have to go out and kill somebody. Here. So the only problem with this is the kids are going to figure it out. They're going to try to defeat the Switch Witch by just eating all the candy the first night. Or worse, they'll start adopting the tricks of drug mules to smuggle their candy.
I think that's a Hershey Kiss. Could be a butterscotch. If any kid goes for that switch witching, they are, and I just did a study in my head of this, 90% more likely to take a selfie with a bear. Is not the best and brightest.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fell in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And our upcoming show in, New Jersey on December 4th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything this week. Mike and Ian show you how to scare the crap out of someone. Can you say crap on public radio? Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lynn Veedy.
Hey, Lynn Veedy, how are you and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Westwood, Massachusetts.
Where is Westwood, Massachusetts?
I'm about 9 miles from Boston.
What do you do there?
I teach college at the all-women's Wellesley College.
Oh, Wellesley, of course. A fine school. Yeah, isn't that to Hillary Clinton's alma mater?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's very exciting.
And a number of other people, too. Like
Wait a second. Are you sure about that, Lynn?
Yeah.
I was told there was only one grad.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Lynn. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks, with the last word or phrase, of course, being left up to you. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in 2 out of the 3 limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
I think I am.
All right. Here is your first limerick.
As we pose for my mobile device, our scalps will be paying the price. As we lean in real tight and exchange parasites, in selfies we're transferring...
Lice.
Yes, lice! A Russian government agency is discouraging people from taking group selfies because they spread head lice. It makes sense, right? You'll lean in for a selfie to take the picture together. Your heads touch, allowing lice a chance to upgrade their living quarters. Russians are mocking the warning, but who can forget how Ellen DeGeneres gave every A-list person in Hollywood fleas at last year's Oscars?
That is so high tech. When I was at Daniel Bagley Elementary School, they taught us, share a toy, share a ride, share the feelings deep inside, but never share a hat or comb, or lice could make your head their home.
Wow.
And despite that, Despite that, I got lice like 11 times between third and fifth grade. It wasn't a good elementary school.
I like that poem, and you remember it.
Well, I was going to say, today's kids, if they had to learn that poem or take a selfie, they're going with the selfie.
That's true. Here is your next limerick.
What three glasses of milk should supply? Though my bones might be old, they'll be spry. But the ounces of fat make the calcium go flat. Now I'm just much more likely to...
Die,
yes.
Boy.
New research in the British Medical Journal shows that drinking three glasses of milk a day, just like those, you know, milk mustache ads tell us to do, will kill you. The whole time, those cows, they're saying, murder.
I cannot believe milk is deadly now.
Milk is deadly.
As a society, we've pretty much given up.
Really?
It's one thing to be afraid of Ebola, but when milk will kill you, what's left?
Everybody drinks milk.
And everybody dies, so they must be
right. Yeah, listen, it's true. All right, here's your last limerick.
Green cheese ain't as wrong as you think. Old myths and new facts are in sync. In comets we found that sulfur abounds. Their long tail gives a bad...
stink.
Right, stink. Very good. Very good. An unmanned European spacecraft made a big discovery about comets. They stink. The Rosetta Orbiter sensor has determined comets are made of ammonia, methane, and sulfur dioxide. It's amazing. We thought there were these beautiful heavenly things in the cosmos. They're like the taxi cabs of the solar system.
You know how embarrassed that comet is, though. Like, he was just hanging out by Neptune trying to release a little sulfur, and then a space probe comes up right afterwards.
Oh, it's the worst.
That was already like that. That's apparently what a comet sounds like when it talks.
Comets are like, whoa, man, there must be another comet around somewhere. Bill, how did Lynn do in our quiz?
Lynn did Wellesley proud. She got the perfect score.
Well done, Lynn.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for playing. And congratulations. Now it is time to go on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Luke and Alonzo each have 2. Kerry has 3.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have flipped a coin, and Alonzo has elected to go second. So, Luke, that means you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. The World Health Organization announced Wednesday that the blank epidemic in Liberia appears to have slowed.
Ebola.
Right. A South Korean spy agency reported that ankle surgery was the reason behind blank's 6-week disappearance.
Kim Jong-un.
Right. On Tuesday, Sarah Palin told the Fox Business Network that she was hoping to blank again in the near future.
Run for office.
Yes, indeed. A grocery store in New Zealand has been forced to hire a security staff to guard their blank.
Their very, very weak other security staff.
No, their chocolate milk. The Red Cross is urging the evacuation of a Hawaiian village as the safety of its residents continues to be threatened by blank.
Lava.
Right. Officials in Finland have recalled the popular cinnamon-flavored whiskey Fireball over concerns that it contains too much blank.
Antifreeze.
Right. According to new research, men who want to lower their risk of prostate cancer should blank.
Drink more antifreeze.
No. Sleep with 21 women, at least. The study, which comes from the University of Montreal, found that men who have slept with over 20 women in their lives decreased their risk of prostate cancer by 33%. It's exciting news, makes for a great new pickup line. Hey, babe, what if I told you that you could help fight prostate cancer with just 30 seconds of your time? Bill, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Luke got 5 right, 10 more points. He has a total of 12 and the lead.
That's very good. All right, Alonzo, you are up next. Here we go, Alonzo, fill in the blank. This week, George P. Bush said it was very likely that his father, blank, would run for president
Jeb.
In 2016. Jeb, yes. Putting years of media speculation to rest, Apple CEO Tim Cook announced that he is proud to be blank.
Gay.
Yes. On Tuesday, the Obama administration confirmed that the White House's computer systems had been blanked.
Hacked.
Right. This week, a group of Kurdish soldiers from Iraq joined the fight to save a Syrian border town from blank.
ISIS.
Right. Dubai is solving its traffic problem by offering anyone who chooses to take public transit blank.
Free ride?
No, the chance to win a big pile of gold. South African prosecutors said Monday that they plan to appeal Paralympic track star blank's 5-year prison sentence.
Pistorius?
Ooh. Pistorius, close yeah. enough. Yes, Oscar Pistorius. Rescue workers have been mobilized in Sri Lanka after 200 people went missing following a giant blank.
Earthquake?
No, mudslide in this case. This week, John Spinello, creator of the board game Operation, was in the news because he needs blank.
An operation.
Exactly right. John Spinello created the popular game back in 1965. And with it, a generation of doctors who were shocked to find that people's stomachs weren't filled with actual butterflies. In a recent profile, Spinello told the Huffington Post that he'll soon be going in for an operation himself and assumes that everything will go smoothly as long as the surgeon follows the number one rule, do not touch the sides. Bill, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
He got 6 right, 12 more points. He now has 14 and the lead.
Well done. All right. So how many does Kiri need to win?
She only needs 6 to win, Kiri.
All right. Here we go. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. With their 3-2 win over the Royals in Game 7, the Blanks won their third World Series in 5 years.
Giants.
Right, San Francisco. On Thursday, Senator Ted Cruz warned the GOP that if they picked a moderate candidate to run for president in 2016, blank would win the election.
Hillary Clinton.
Right, and heartbreaking news for our show, businessman and lawyer John Tory was elected to replace blank as the mayor of Toronto.
Rob Ford.
Right. On Thursday, Thomas Menino, the longest-serving mayor of blank, passed away at 71.
Boston.
Right. Police in Alabama were able to find a suspect hiding in a bush after he was ratted out by blank.
His dog.
His own dog. Police said, "Where is he?" And the dog went. Researchers have reported that after almost 80 years, they finally identified a piece of blank's lost plane.
Amelia Earhart.
Right. This week, Jack Bruce, best known as Eric Clapton's bandmate in the legendary supergroup blank, passed away at 71.
Cream.
Right. An Australian man trying to rob a gas station with a boomerang had to flee the scene when blank.
The boomerang came back.
No. When it failed to come back. In what is most easily the most Australian news story since that drunken kangaroo challenged Mel Gibson to a knife fight over a wallaby while riding a dingo that has eaten someone's baby. A man... tried to hold up a shell station with a boomerang in that country. The heist was a failure when he threw it, and instead of coming back to his hand, it just flew away and fell to the ground. Bill, did Kiri do well enough to win?
Well, she didn't get that boomerang, but she did get 7 right. 14 more points. 17 and the win!
Well
Kiri
done!
Kiri O'Connor!
Well done, Kiri. Congratulations. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, now that the holiday's done this year, what next year's most popular Halloween costume will be. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees, now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Patricia Papper, supporting Perry's Art Museum Miami, providing progressive art programming to Miami-Dade County residents and visitors, and eSurance, with online tools that provide customers with 24/7 advice and support. Learn more at eSurance.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Rage Against the Machines, Kelsey in the Name of Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced each week by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nian. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big costume next year? Mr. Luke Burbank.
After his highly logical, science-based comments this week, it'll be ex-Pope Francis.
Alonzo Bowden.
In order to help stop the spread of prostate cancer, women are going to bring back the old classic slutty nurse.
And Kiri O'Connor.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but I still have hope. A banker behind bars.
And if we see any of those costumes, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Luke Burbank, Kerry O'Connor. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.